Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair cardamom creme brulee with a sparkling rosé from Langham Estate.
And we talk Doctor Who stanning, Neanderthal voice coaching, and a victory for women everywhere with our guest, painter Frankie Thorpe.
Frankie, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I am Frankie and I'm a painter based in East London. I paint mainly cocktails and fruit and sometimes boobs.
Yeah. All the good things.
All the good things.
So many of my favourite things.
Yep. Cocktails, fruit and boobs is my forte. But I guess sort of mainly still life painting, kind of like a modern take on the more traditional still life painting.
Listener, they are really nice paintings. Yeah, go and check gorgeous. Them out. I'm obsessed.
Very colourful, very fun, you know, sort of playful.
And what have you been up to recently, Frankie? I hear you've just got back from a nice holiday.
I have. I got back from sunny tropical Sweden.
Oh, wow. Is it proper midsummer, never gets dark vibes?
Yeah, it did
right
look
now?
Quite sunny.
It was, we were so lucky with the weather, but we were literally in the middle of nowhere. And I was saying to Hannah, I was making a lot of midsummer jokes the first day we arrived. And then I felt like that's probably slightly inappropriate, sort of a bit rude to our hosts. But it was, it literally was. There was barns. They had like the, because they had literally midsummer a month ago and they had like the burn out, the cross that they sort of, they do burn as part of the, like, the ceremony.
Quite spooky that that's still there.
Yeah. And you know, like, you know, there was lots of jokes about, well, who's going to be put on the bear skin and burn alive, you know, so, but oh my God, it was absolutely stunning. We swam in the lake every day, bathed in the lake with environmentally friendly soap, mind, just bring it, get that in there. But it was so lovely. I tried 5 different types of pickled herring. Did you know that there were that many?
I didn't know. I know about the dill ones and just the vinegary ones.
There was one that was like a sort of, I want to say like a Dijon-y mustard, and it was quite funny. I was like scooping in to take it, and one of the guys was like, no, you've missed a big chunk of pickled herring there. Sort of like scooped back in. I was like, oh yeah, how could I miss that?
Which was your favourite type of pickled herring?
I think it was actually the most pickly one. It had sort of like strings of like sort of onion, and it kind of, to me, that's how I envisioned pickled herring. Some of them looked more like mayonnaises or kind of like creamy, which, imagine that sort of, you know, juxtaposition of creamy with fish, I just, in a jar.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you know what I mean? I want it to be a bit lighter.
Yeah, like when it's more like a relish, that was what I had in mind.
Oh, is that all you were eating?
Well, we had, what else did we have? Oh, smoked salmon and smoked haddock. Any smoked kind of fish is big. But yeah, and then the last night we had Swedish tacos, which basically is apparently it's very traditional there of a Friday evening. That's like a family, they have Swedish tacos. That's like a thing they do.
And what do they have in the tacos?
Is it pickled herring?
It's not pickled herring. Oh,
okay. It's quite salmon?
To be honest, it's quite simple. It's basically like minced meat with a kind of loads of seasoning and stuff. And then you have just all the usual like guacamole and sort of.
Love that.
What's Swedish about that?
Well, nothing really.
People in Sweden love it.
But they love it. Apparently that's like Friday night. You know, the comparison was that, you know, you get KFC maybe as a kid growing up as a treat on a Friday. They have Swedish tacos.
Yeah. Love that.
Amazing. Frank, I am so, so happy you're on this podcast because for full disclosure listeners, me and Frank have met many times.
Yes.
This is the first time that Sophie and Frank have met.
I know.
I'm so stoked.
I've been an admirer for a long time, so I'm very excited to actually be in the room as you.
I know.
So exciting.
So exciting.
I'm like, first guest, we need someone who's got good crack. I was like, I know somebody who's got good crack.
Oh, God.
Who's vaguely involved in the food scene. And I think that because when me and Frank first met, I think it was like a lot of my friendships these days are an Instagram friendship.
Yes.
Born online on the app. I think who slid into whose DMs?
You slid into mine. I think, do you know what it was? I think you very kindly shared a piece of my work on your stories as a kind of like, check this out. And that was quite early on, I want to say last year. And then I think you slid into my DMs a bit later being like, would you be interested in working together? So then we met
up at Shoreditch House.
Oh, classic.
I know, because it's so classic. Wankers. At that time, you were a member and I wasn't. That was before I was like a complete and total
I was still
wanker.
Working in my sort of regular day job and I'd snuck out of the office. I did that a lot towards the end.
Yeah. I'm not sure they're going to fire me.
You know, it's just like,
I'm sure suckers. They're not listening. No. But like, when I was going to meet you, and I've told you this before, like, I had an idea of like what Frank was going to be like. And like, you know, when you assume you make an ass of you and me, but I was like, oh, okay, like selling art to like upper middle class mums, like she's like this amazing, colourful, vibrant artist. Like you see like a lot of these Insta artists and they're like, oh girls, I love painting fruit. And I was like very full on expecting to meet someone that I was gonna do like an event with and then like we would have a good working relationship.
And then,
you were like the last person I expected to meet, but I was so happy about it.
Yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it? How Instagram, like, we've met each other. I've met loads of people via Instagram. And I think you tell that to people that maybe just aren't that active or don't use Instagram as like their sort of main day-to-day, you know, business. And they find it quite strange.
Yeah.
They're like, you met on Instagram.
It's so crucial for work, networking in all of our jobs, I think.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
We didn't meet on Instagram, but we definitely nurtured a relationship through Instagram.
We actually met in real life.
I know, it's so old-fashioned.
But yeah, no, I think I really do. I've met lots of artists. And the thing is, like being an artist, it can be quite like a lonely profession. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to feel part of a community. And I think through lockdown, there was lots of like chatting in the DMs, kind of like, you know, we did probably early on. But then to actually meet up in real life and then just have a good old moan and just slag everyone off.
it's joking, so much more work really. Relationships are,
but it
though,
is,
isn't
it's just,
it?
You just need to know that someone has got the same problems as you. And that's what I realise is just they say something, you think, yes, that is exactly how I feel. And it's just, you know, it's so reassuring, I think. So I think Instagram is good for that.
Yeah, 100%. And Frankie, you worked in finance?
Yeah, like, I've done a bit of everything over the years. But I think I was working in sort of financial services, which is actually absurd because I am numerically challenged, let's say. It's one of those things. I just sort of fell into it. I mean, I did study illustration at uni and it just did not work out. You know, it was lots of sort of internships and trying to do a bit of freelance after uni and it just nothing ever really came to fruition. And I really thought I was never going to be creative ever again.
No.
I really do. That's why I just, you know, even like today when I met you, I was like, oh, I'm really stressed. I just have to pinch myself and say, at least you're not working in an office anymore. I just feel actually really privileged to be able to do what I love because I've been in a position where I haven't and, you know, done office jobs that I really, really hate.
It is really hard to carve out the path as a creative
really
in a way
is.
That works for you. But I definitely have the same thing as you where some days I'm like, I can't believe someone's paying me to do that.
It is, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's mad. Like, I can't believe people are like buy my work. It's just like, the novelty never wears off. It really doesn't.
I can imagine.
It's, and you know, like as well, like, I mean, Instagram did change the game. I mean, without Instagram, I would not have sold a single piece of work, which sounds dramatic, but I wouldn't have. It's like, it just blows my mind that I get complete strangers like sliding into my DMs asking about commissions and, you know, what have you got available? And like, it's just, people just do that now. Like 5 years ago, I don't think people were.
Yeah, like back in the day, like before social media, like you would have had to like shell out lots of money to do a show that people might have come to.
Exactly. Like that's the thing. And, you know, I think...
It's free advertising.
Yeah. And people get very upset about, you know, Instagram and what it's doing now. But what people have to remember is it is... well, kind of free, depending on how you use it. But like for such a long time, that was the only platform you had to get your work out there.
Yeah, 100%.
You know.
Can you see yourself transitioning into doing reels to get on the algorithm? Well, reels?
Honestly, mate, I might have to. It's just mad. It's just, you know, I can see a lot of people getting upset. I mean, touch wood. I've seen a lot of artists doing like sponsored posts and stuff like that. And I don't blame them because you can feel at the minute completely just unseen and like, you know, the only thing I touch wood, I'm touching all the wood at the minute, is that my...
There's a lot of wood in this house.
My sales seem to sort of still be there. So I haven't felt the need to do it, you know. So,
do you get approached by brands to do things like that?
Well, kind of, yeah. There's a few like things that people get in touch. I mean, there's something that I'm kind of working on at the minute. I'm not going to say too much because it's still in like the early days. I don't want to jinx it. But like... You know, Instagram, I think every opportunity that's landed in my lap has come via DM. Mm. Like, and that's just mad, isn't it? Like,
it's amazing.
You know, make room for the boys, like the DMs. Like, can you please?
Oh yeah, Frank is also very single, ready to mingle.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
So if any of the 20% of our male listeners are listening and thinking, oh... I like her voice.
Is it only 20%? Shit, I wouldn't have come on if it was that little. I'm sure you said at least 80. That's why I'm here.
Lads, if you want Frankie to come back, you're going to have to start listening.
Yeah.
Spread the word to your male friends, please.
Yeah, every review is one letter of a DM we will send to her on your behalf.
I think it might be some time for some food and drink now, right?
I think so as well. Right.
Ready?
We're ready to rock.
Well, we could do some serious like
ASMR. Oh my God, it is really solid.
Yeah. Right, listen, I'm going to give you a clue as to, well, you heard it in the intro. Here's the sound of the creme brulee that we're going to be eating.
I'll do it as well.
Oh, that's a good old crack, isn't it?
Nice girl band here.
I know. Oh, should we all give it a whack? Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Soph, this looks amazing.
Creme brulee is one of those things where you don't know what the texture's like until you dig into it. So,
I mean, I think...
Who bloody knows?
I think you've nailed it.
Oh, and these ramekins are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Listeners, they've got like little pimento olives on cocktail sticks and little blackberries as well.
So these were my great aunt's little ramekins.
Mmm.
They're super cute.
Oh.
Great aunt Sylvia. Do you know what? It's actually got a bit too hot under the grill, but... Still tastes nice.
It's so good.
It's very Scandi, actually, the cardamom.
Yeah. And Han, what are we drinking with the creme brulee?
I'm glad you asked.
Before I get carried away.
Sorry.
I'm glad you fucking asked. So today we are drinking another bottle of fizz. It's been a very fizz-heavy series, and I am not complaining.
No, normally.
So the lovely folks from Langham, which are an English winery, very kindly sent us over this bottle of sparkling non-vintage rosé. So it's a blend of like the classic kind of English sparkling champagne-y varieties. So Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Pinot Meunier. But this is 46% Pinot Noir, which is why, as you will see, it has this gorgeous pink hue.
Mm.
We've got like, I mean, like, I love pairing fizz with desserts. This has kind of got like lovely aromas of, I think I saw like Marmite on the tasting note. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll see what they mean. But kind of lovely notes of rhubarb, custard, like a really great dessert pairing wine. Because, dessert wines don't always have to be sweet. I mean, I think that's the thing that our parents did. And like, I still do from time to time.
I love a sparkling with a dessert.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
As soon as you said rhubarby, I knew that I wanted to do something custardy, which is why we've got the creme brulee. And yeah, I've just infused the cream with some cardamom just to get it a little bit spicy.
You're so
before
it's not going to fly off. Oh. Do you get cork anxiety?
I do, majorly.
Yeah, I do as and well.
Woo!
Wee! Do you know what? Since that guy who was on Love Island ages ago lost his eye.
Oh my God, don't. Yeah.
Flying cork in a nightclub in Ibiza.
Literally. It's one of my really irrational fears that that is going to happen.
Go.
Amazing.
It's a beautiful colour, isn't it? It's almost like, it's not like Provence rosé colour. It's like a deep orangey pink.
It's salmon pink.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
I'm not able to reach you to cheers after cheers, Ham, instead.
Cheers, girls.
Clink.
Cheers in the air.
Thanks for having me.
Amazing.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to see if this is rhubarb in custody as we planned.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's so good. I'm really happy with that.
That is bloody lovely.
Oh, lovely.
It's kind of got this lovely palate cleansing effect.
It does have really champagne-y flavours compared to other sparkling wines.
Such
richness.
So we've got a lot to talk about this week, but I want to start off with a bombshell.
Oh.
So I came into like the recording area, studio, living room, shall we say, and I said, I've got a big bit of news, but I'm going to wait until we're sat down. It's not like I'm not pregnant or anything. It's just like a big bit of news.
I was waiting for that.
But I was out last night with my friend Polly, and we were kind of like talking, and she said, oh yeah, my aunt's like kind of like a famous actress. I said, oh, is there anything that she's been in? And she said, well, yeah, she's kind of like been on a lot of things, but like her big role, you wouldn't recognize her for. And I said, oh, how come? She said, oh, she's Po from Teletubbies.
No.
What the hell?
Yeah.
No. You're friends with Po's niece.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Po.
I can't.
Wait, just Po is the red one, right?
Po's the red one.
The smallest one.
Yeah. With the scooter.
So cute.
Yeah.
I was always Lala when I was a kid to my sisters.
I'm probably a few years older than you both, but I had a younger sister who was obsessed, and I did used to watch it, even though it was far beyond my sort of years.
Are you trying to tell me you're too sophisticated for Teletubbies?
I watched the Teletubbies, all right, and I was probably about 8. I admit it. But
no,
you know,
one's too old for Teletubbies.
No one's too old, but I do remember them all. I do.
Apparently when it first came out, my mum told me this, she was at university when it first came out, so it was only a few years before she had me. But apparently like Teletubbies was like a big thing at university. Like students like loved
they
watching
it.
Probably
watched it stoned.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
It's probably good stoner cinema.
Do either of you remember that you used to be able to buy Teletubby food at the supermarket?
Yes, the Teletubby toast. Obsessed.
So good. My grandpa used to buy it for me when I went to go stay with my grandparents.
Yes,
it was basically. I guess they were kind of like crumpety.
They were. Do you know what? They were like the perfect balance of like sweetness.
Yeah.
Like a sweetness and savoury. God, I remember it
they were
far
delicious.
Too well.
I remember this.
Yes.
And I think, you know what I think probably happened? I think my parents probably like stood in front of it so that I wouldn't ask for it.
Yeah.
It seems like the kind of thing that they would do.
Hide it from the baby.
Hide it from the baby. They knew as soon as I saw it, I'd be like, I have to have it. Like,
you
do
done.
Not have spare money to spend on your childhood frivolities.
I can't believe that you have a connection to Poe.
Yeah.
What else has Poe starred in?
So Poe's been in a few things. Poe has, well, I don't actually know her actual name, so I'm so sorry.
Yes, sorry.
I'm really sorry that we're calling you Poe.
She's been in like a Bridget Jones movie. She's been in a fair few things.
I've watched all the Bridget Jones films many, many times.
Many, many times. But I'd say career highlight is probably Poe.
Oh, probably Poe, isn't it?
Gotta be.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotta be.
Do you remember when they took Tinky Winky off like air in America because they thought he was too gay?
No, really?
Because he had a handbag.
Because he had a handbag.
I mean, nowadays that would be well and truly celebrated, I'd like to think.
Yeah, but exactly.
Do you remember Nunu? Naughty Nunu.
Yeah, I do remember Nunu.
I remember Nunu always used to clean up after them and steal the tubby custard.
Tubby custard.
I remember this way too much.
They sold tubby custard as well, but I mean, that was just strawberry yogurt.
I think that wasn't as great as the tubby toast.
The toast was the iconic bit.
It really was. Yeah.
You know, for someone who supposedly didn't watch an episode of Teletubbies, you've got quite an extensive knowledge there, Frank.
I know. I think because I was that bit older, maybe. I'm pretty sure my sister was about 2 and I would have been, I must have been about 8, yeah.
I have this with the tweenies. My younger sister loved the tweenies.
Yeah.
And yeah, I must have been like 8.
Yeah.
Just kind of watching tweenies out of the side of my eye. Milo from the tweenies is quite fit.
I've seen this on TikTok. Like there's been doing the rounds.
Yes, the purple one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sexy.
And then someone made a TikTok about, like a joke about, what was like the one of the, like the kind of the people that works in the, like they looked after the kids, I don't know, like the older guy, whatever he was.
I thought it was a nursery,
Max,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
Uncle Max.
And someone was like, oh, like calling him daddy or something. I was just like, no.
I mean, that's better than me calling a puppet of a child
sexy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all a bit.
Yeah, he's a nursery, so if he wants.
I take all of this back. He's not sexy, he's clearly a nursery.
But he's also probably paid by a 35-year-old failing actor.
True, and I think I was like, yeah, 7 or 8 when I had the hots for him, so.
Oh, really?
Who's to say?
I used to be really afraid because you know how they had those little skits in the Teletubbies of like there was the little Bo Peep one and all the sheep like went up to become clouds. There was also like a little skit in between where there was like a big wooden lion.
Oh.
That used to freak the shit out of me, apparently. I really didn't like it. So I have a question. Is there anything that on TV that really freaked you out as a kid that you remember being absolutely terrified of?
Ooh. I don't think on TV, but I have a really vivid memory of being taken to the circus on Peckham Rye when I was 3, Zippo Circus.
So trendy. Yeah.
Well, I lived around the corner, didn't I?
Oh, proper,
it was less
proper,
trendy then.
Proper Peckham night.
Yeah, I was born in SE4. Mm. But went to this circus and one of my sisters was a baby and was sat on my mum's lap and the clown came off the stage and into the crowd, took the baby, put her on the floor and sat on my mum's lap. And I could not stop screaming. And my dad had to take me home because I was like, this isn't funny. No. This is not fucking funny.
Oh my God, get out, it isn't funny. Did your parents think it was hilarious?
Well, yeah, the clown took the baby and everyone else was laughing and I did not think that was funny.
No. Oh, the baby, which baby was it?
It was Baby Phoebe.
Baby Phoebe!
She was a ginger as well. She's a really ginger baby.
Oh, the clown was like, it's one of me.
I was going to say.
One of my own.
She's joined the circus.
I can see Phoebe being in the circus as kind of like a cool, sexy, like knife thrower.
Yeah, cool girl at the circus.
Yeah.
I can see it. Maybe that's in your future, Phoebes.
Yeah, maybe. But what about you, Frank?
I think the one that sticks out the most is probably The Goonies. You know that?
Yeah,
the
creepy,
kind of, I remember probably watching that very young. And I kept sort of running to my mum and be like, he's funny, isn't he? That weird looking man. And she was like, you don't have to watch it. If it's scary, you turn it off. I was like, no, I'm going to watch it. You know that kind of like...
Yeah, it's like, I've got to keep going.
You really freak me out. And even like as the show gets on, they obviously breath. I can't even... What's he called?
He's
like,
I've never seen you The Goonies. Guys.
I can't remember what his name is. I've not seen it for years.
He does look pretty hideous, bless him. But he kind of befriends the kids towards the end of the film and helps them, you know, escape the baddies. But he was pretty terrifying.
Mm. I remember not being able to sleep for about 3 months after seeing the Weeping Angels episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, God, yeah. That was really, really creepy.
I was so terrified.
A lot of Doctor Who of that era was very scary.
Yeah, I think it was like when it first made a comeback and it was massive then, wasn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Those first
the Christopher
couple,
Eccleston
what about
years.
The Are You My Mummy?
Oh no!
No, I hate that one.
Oh, no.
I actually have a very vivid memory of sleeping in the bath because the bathroom was closer to my parents' room than my own room after that episode. And my parents were like, I was like, I want to watch that because it was a two-parter because they'd have one two-parter. This is going to be a recurring thing on the podcast. I'm a massive Doctor Who stan.
Oh, I did not know this until right now, but it makes so much sense. In a good way.
Is it because I'm a massive saddo?
Yes.
Yes. I am like a massive Doctor Who stan. This is like a recurring theme. Like, so well written, so amazing. Like, all went to shit when Stephen Moffat took over because then he started writing Sherlock and Sherlock became good and he neglected Doctor Who. Like
at what
a
point
sad
was
older
that?
Child.
Was that Matt Smith years?
Matt Smith, first season of Matt Smith was really
that
good.
That was good. And then it went a bit downhill.
I think I stopped watching it in the Matt Smith years.
The David Tennant years.
Those,
he's my doctor.
Those episodes were just so well written. They were so well crafted. You can tell that Russell T Davies wrote them.
Did you cry, and the doctor. I was just going to say, did you cry your eyes out?
So much when you get stuck in the other universe. I've got goosebumps.
I literally had goosebumps thinking about it. It was so well written.
But someone made a really good point on a tweet is that like Russell T Davies' era Doctor Who was an adult show trying to be a show for kids.
Yeah.
And then Stephen Moffat was a kid's show trying to be a show for adults.
I think that is it. That is exactly it.
But the monsters were so, I mean, you watch it back and you're like, fucking hell, this CGI was so bad. But everyone was so horny
in
like the first two seasons of Doctor Who. That episode with Captain Jack, Filth.
He
such filth.
What happened? Well, I don't
Captain
know.
Jack was just always trying to shag everyone.
He was the bisexual, like kind of like sky pirate. It was
it turned out to be the face of Bo. Do you remember that?
Spoilers, guys.
Sorry, I hope no one is watching Doctor Who for the first time. Rose is stuck in another universe and Captain Jack is the face of Bo.
Oh, you're going to get complaints.
Captain Jack Harkness. John Barrowman plays him.
Yeah.
He's cancelled now, isn't he? Because apparently he was a bit gropey. He said it was only a joke, but...
Oh, no. Doesn't wash these days.
Just own it. You've got to fucking own it.
No. But like the amount that they would pack into... I remember them being like an hour long, but they're only like half an hour. Like the amount of like a very intense, like very sad psychological themes they would pack, like the back in time, like being zapped back in time by the Weeping Angels and then seeing your friend 1 minute and receiving, I'm actually getting shivers now. Like the things like seeing your friend 1 minute and then the next minute receiving a letter from her grandson. Oh my God, I'm getting again. Receiving a letter from her grandson being like, my grandmother's like your friend. She's been dead for 10 years. And I was like, what the...
Oh no, I've got goosebumps again now. It's happening. Oh, it's going to keep passing them around. Should we just become a Doctor Who podcast?
I think we might have to. God, I mean, scrap the wine.
The David Tennant years explicitly also.
We could do an episode per podcast. Yeah.
Some of my sisters say that my dad has David Tennant energy.
Oh, and
that's pretty hot.
Big D energy.
Yeah. Except he doesn't look very much like him. They've got a similar energy, though. It's like skinny dude with the Converse.
Although, sorry, David Tennant or David Tennant as Doctor Who energy.
David Tennant as Doctor Who.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think David Tennant in IRL is just a bit, he seems like a nice guy.
He's got loads of kids.
He married his daughter on the show.
Yes, he married Georgia.
Georgia Moffat.
Georgia Moffat.
Yeah.
Whose dad was one of the old doctors. He was like the sixth doctor.
Did not know that.
Yeah,
that's not bad. But my dad met David Tennant behind the scenes. My dad went to a recording of Have I Got News For You, where David Tennant was the guest host. And he went backstage afterwards to meet him. And he said, my daughter said I look like you. And apparently David Tennant looks so horrible. But there's a really cute picture of them together.
It's amazing. And that, like, David Tennant was such a fucking great actor. Some people are like, oh, he was a bit hammy. But that episode, the two-parter again, where he had to pretend, he had to have his memory wiped and he was human at the school and Martha had to, like, look after him. And then he fell in love with someone else and Martha had to watch it happen, but he didn't know he was the doctor. And then at the end of the two-parter, spoiler alert, John Smith has to die and he doesn't know that the doctor's actually real. And like David Tennant is acting John Smith dying to become the doctor. And it's just, oh my God, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
I've got goosebumps again. Speaking of nostalgic watching, we watched Princess Diaries 2 the other day. It absolutely bangs. We watched Princess Diaries 1 the previous week. It really holds up.
Good.
Really?
But I had one gripe with it, which is Fat Louie, her cat.
Oh, yes,
is
of
not.
Course.
Fat. It's your classic 2000s unrealistic body standards. I've gone so far that they've cast a skinny cat as Fat Louie and they're fat shaming him. It's ludicrous.
No, don't worry. When Fat Louie does like a weird pose, he gets Tommy rolls and then it becomes body positivity content.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's absolutely bananas. I hate that body positivity content because you can only kind of have like a before and after like that if you are skinny.
There was a lot of that at one point, wasn't there, on Instagram? I've not noticed it so much, but I think it had the right intentions.
100%.
I just think it just got a bit performative.
It's just like 100%. Very skinny people and just kind of jumping on a movement that wasn't made for them.
Just for clout, I think.
Which is dead
silly.
I've read the Princess Diaries books. I never saw the film.
Oh my God, Hannah, you're in for a treat.
Am I?
So I recently watched the first, you know, on my making the most of my Disney Plus subscription. Yeah. Nice. Fantastic.
What were your thoughts?
Loved it. And I remember, and it obviously prompted me to watch the second. And I thought, I don't remember it being good.
But it's less good than number one, I'll be honest with you.
But now I think I might go away and watch it. Yeah.
Recommend. Just avert your eyes.
Is she still
Louie.
With the guy? Well, don't, do you know what? Don't, I'm going to, it will be a surprise. I'm not going to.
All will be revealed.
I'm just going to go and watch it.
There's a Hollywood actor who appears.
Oh.
Is it Julie Andrews?
Apart from Julie Andrews, obviously, who is everyone's favourite. You know, Anne Hathaway was also 18 when she did The Princess Diaries.
No!
Such a spring chicken.
Oh, bless her.
I mean, She does look great.
She's always looked amazing.
It's I'm also really glad that I feel like the internet has come back from its Anne Hathaway hatred.
I'm just going to say that I wasn't imagining that. There was everyone seemed to hate her.
It was cool to just say you hated Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I don't know why. Do you know what? I just think it was just jealousy.
They're jealous because she's talented and beautiful. She can sing, she can act. She seems like a wholesome, nice lady.
Yeah. Who's she married to?
She's married and has kids, but I don't know who.
I want to say he's like a ballet dancer.
He's something.
A belly dancer.
Yeah,
a belly dancer.
A belly dancer. He's got an Instagram
that
page.
Body positive. Out. Beat me to it.
I feel like they live quite a nice kind of quiet life away from press and stuff.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe we don't even know what he does.
She is married to a man called Adam Shulman.
And he's not a ballet dancer. I don't know where I got that from.
Not a ballet
Natalie
dancer.
Natalie Portman's husband's a ballet dancer.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Because she met him on The Black Swan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He is a producer.
Oh.
/ actor. He's acted in 5 things and he's produced anything one good? Thing. And he's been given thanks in another thing.
Is he a house husband?
Maybe.
I'm sure Anne Hathaway deserves a house husband, to be honest. She's a busy lady.
Yeah, I mean, she won an Oscar, didn't she?
Oh. She did for Les Mis, didn't she?
He's a jewellery designer.
Oh.
He's a multifaceted man.
No creative. Pun intended.
Very good. Very, very good.
9 years and 2 children later. Oh, they look really happy together.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks nice.
She's doing a smile with a tongue. That's how you know it's real.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so they cute. Do look cute.
Oh, yeah. Now that I've got my phone out, I wanted to remind you of this video that is one of my favorite videos. This is going to be another recurring theme on the podcast, me just showing people videos. That I showed someone and then they reminded me that I showed it. I was like, fuck yeah, that video exists, but I haven't seen it for a really long time. So it's like a very worthy BBC 4 documentary. And you know how they have these historical programs and they get experts in to weigh in on like, oh, what might this person have been like? They do it for like Neanderthal caveman and this woman who is like a speech coach at like the RCA, the acting one?
Yeah.
They get this speech coach who analyzes like a 3D printing of, this is such a long-winded explanation, but I promise you it's so worth it. She analyzes this 3D printout of a vocal cords and then works with this actor to get him to like sound like what a Neanderthal might sound like. So I will do it this way, but also we'll crank it up so that the microphone can hear it. This is so good.
And Patsy Rodenberg has just been given the newly created vocal tracks.
Oh. Goodness, that's very interesting. This is a human. This is a human throat. This is a Neanderthal, and it's very squat. Probably the voice would be higher. So, Elliot, let's try male human voice, count over 3.
1, 2, 3.
Just pitch up your voice.
1, 2, 3.
Now, we might have an idea that a macho sound is low, but that might be very useful, but it gets even more complex.
It's a broken man.
As well as his vocal tract, our Neanderthal's strange shape would also have affected his voice. His deep rib cage, a large and heavy skull, and most of all, a huge nasal cavity.
Let's just add a bit of nasal now.
1, 2, 3.
Now, the other thing that would be happening, which would actually increase that quality, is a very heavy skull that seems to pull down into the throat there. Now, add to that the fact that they had a fantastic chest, which is a support system of breath, which can produce enormous chest resonance and tremendous power. So I imagine that they wouldn't have subtle sounds. It would be loud, very loud, or very, very loud. And we can try and get that by... I'm now going to engage Elliot by push into me. This is actually getting him right into his body. Now speak.
1, 2, 3!
Now let's make a sound. Just let's make a huge R. And again...
Oh, it is honestly.
It's one like of a sketch. Why does it just seem like it's a sketch?
No, I can't believe that's real.
No, that it's poor real. Man. Poor Elliot.
He was really trying, bless him.
Funnily enough, you can't find any information about Elliot online. I think he's erased all kind of like acting features. Or maybe he changed his name. Or maybe Elliot was never his real name.
Maybe it was an alias.
But yeah, we'll put that up online for you all to save it.
That was incredible.
Oh my God, that was a very, very happy 2 minutes.
What else has been happening? What else have you been watching?
Well, I guess the most important thing that we all would have watched this week is the Lionesses' big win at the Euros. So big. Where did you guys watch it?
Well, I was in Sweden.
Did you watch it from Sweden?
Yeah, we did. With amazing. Swedish sort of commentary, but it was, you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was a vicious game.
Oh my God.
That referee.
Oh my God. I was calling her every name under the sun.
Same.
But, well, I mean.
And the sun was up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sun was
up until 2 a.m.
In Sweden. Yeah. Well, yeah, almost. Yeah. But, it was incredible. I got really emotional. Did you?
Yeah. After we won, I kept tearing up.
Yeah, I
kept trying to like, go back into my eyes.
I know, because I was supposed to be a group of people and a lot of them were Swedish. I mean, they were all cheering us on. Bearing in mind, we'd beat them in the semi-finals.
Oh, yeah,
so they were being very gracious. But
love that.
Yeah, I was quite emotional.
Oh. It's just, I feel really excited about it, but it's also kind of bittersweet that I feel like there was a lot of support for it, but still less support than there would have been.
Oh, 100%.
Should we have won the men's Euros finals? And I just still feel like we've got quite a long way to go in terms of supporting women's sport and women in loads of other areas, to be honest.
Yeah, just in general.
just in general. They were such an impressive bunch of women and they were so gracious. And all the videos of them afterwards, having the time of their lives.
I know. Bless them.
Chloe Kelly, I want to be her best friend.
I just want to give them all a big hug. Yeah. Like, I just really do. I'm just so proud of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to what you were saying about, you know, we've got a long way to go. I think we have come a long way, though.
Definitely. I mean, the fact that we were even watching it.
I mean, and also...
It was on TV.
You know, the number of, you know, lads that I know that were watching it and really getting into it. And I feel like maybe 5 years ago that wouldn't... There was still this thing of like, oh, it's just girls playing football.
I've kept a mental checklist of all the men that shared their victory photo. Like, yeah, you're a good guy.
Yeah, good boys. Although some of it could be quite performative.
Again,
I would like to see like real commitment to change in that space, but also in all spaces to make it safer and happier and more successful for women.
I would like to see a graph. I'm sure the graph could exist, should I hack Instagram, but a graph kind of comparing the correlation to men sharing photos of like the Lionesses' victory and men sharing photos of Amber Heard.
Yes, I reckon there's a correlation.
Yeah,
misogynists versus supporters,
absolutely.
Allies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something there. Yeah, for sure.
The other important thing that we feel strongly about that we want to talk about today is the new Beyoncé album, which I want to start off by saying it's filled with fucking bangers.
Club bangers.
It is so good. It's got that real like Harlem ballroom voguing scene vibe to it, which is such a vibe. But there's obviously been a lot of controversy around it this week as well. First off, from the ableist slur that's had to be removed.
Didn't it happen to Lizzo as well recently?
It did happen to Lizzo as well.
Really?
Which is, I mean, some people in the States are saying that word, which I'm obviously not going to say, but you know what I'm talking about, holds very different meaning in AAVE, which is African American Vernacular English, where it doesn't have... It's not a slur. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that offensive connotation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I would argue that if you're releasing something on a global scale where it does have that connotation, and if Lizzo has already had that backlash a few weeks prior, then surely you'd be quite on. You know that that's how the world's going to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not just get ahead of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know what you guys think about that.
I don't know whether it's just a UK thing.
I think it's Europe in general.
Yeah.
Well, because it derives from... the other spastic, which is a medical word.
So
I reckon even in AAV, I can't speak today. Even in AAVE, it must derive from that in some capacity. I kind of doubt that it's an entirely separate
word. Because it means noise. Erratic movement, doesn't it?
Which seems like it is derived from the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it would have been best to just not. If in doubt, just don't. And I just think that, as you said, they've already happened with Lizzo. Like, you just, Why, you know,
why would you bother? I love Lizzo.
I want to call her Lizzo now.
Is it Lizzo?
It's Lizzo. But I like Lizzo.
Lizzo. Like Lizzo. Right, it was just showing my grandma over here, like, Lizzo. Oh my God, that reminds me of Jake Hall.
Oh no.
God.
Whenever I see Frankie, she mentions this. So I was talking about Jake Hall, the rapper. And I said, like, oh, you've heard of. Frankie was like, who? It's like, Jake Hall. Like J. Cole?
I don't think I know who J. Cole is, to be fair. Oh, J. Cole.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing. She literally was saying it for like 10 minutes. And I was like, am I just out of touch?
It's the Scottish accent.
It's the Scottish
accent. I was like, J. Cole? Who's J. Cole?
I know.
Jake Hall.
And I was like, oh, it just suddenly clicked. And I was literally, I was like, God, I really thought I was down with my... I was like thinking, she doesn't mean Jack Harlow. I know Jack Harlow. Like, I was just like literally going through.
What's happening to me?
I was like, who is, you know, and then it suddenly dawned on me. But so it's like Lizzo.
But yeah, surely that thing comes out, you see all the international backlash. Yeah,
just, you know that that's in your song. Yeah. Just ditch it.
Yeah.
But what's with the Kelly stuff? She's accusing her of nicking.
So she's interpolated part of Milkshake in the end of one of the songs.
Yes, yes.
And has credited Pharrell and another guy who was a producer on the song, but was never, it was never run past Khalees.
Right.
Which, in fairness to Beyonce,
I'm sure she's listening.
Surely Khalees wouldn't have been the one who did the production of that beat. She would have just done the lyrics.
But is
it probably would have been a courtesy. It wasn't the lyrics that were interpolated. It was just a beat.
Okay.
So I kind of don't entirely know what Khalees is kicking off about.
I watched the video and I didn't really get what she meant, if I'm honest, because she called out Pharrell as well.
Yeah.
But she was sort of saying, she kind of, it shifts from, it is Beyonce's problem. And then she says, but it's not even Beyonce's problem. This is just the music industry in general. So she goes on a bit of a rant.
I kind of hear that.
And I get, I think it's her beef is with it in general, maybe artists not being credited properly. But
for sure.
I'll be honest. I think the track in question I listened to and I couldn't hear it.
No, I really was listening really hard
and
for
I feel
it.
Like I've got quite a good ear for that stuff.
No, I did exactly the same.
I'm amazed that she could hear it.
So
I was really struggling.
You know, wasn't there something recent?
It's like a dog whistle that only she can hear. She's like,
it's Milkshake.
I must go to the yard. I feel a sudden pull to the yard.
You know, there's so much music being made. The chances are that there's going to be a track that sounds a little bit similar.
Yeah. I think perhaps the wider point that she's trying to make is that it's the men and not her.
I think maybe that's what it was.
I think, I hear that.
I think it wasn't so much, it sounded like it was more just maybe women not getting credited correctly.
Which is obviously really shitty. And maybe just as a courtesy, Pharrell could have dropped her a line saying,
yeah,
Beyonce's going to interpolate part of Milkshake.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. So she didn't hear it when everyone else did,
just
you know?
Just so you know.
Yeah. By the way, your ex is coming tonight and they've got a new boyfriend. Just so you know.
Han, you've had a very big week aside from all this news.
Yeah.
You're in the newspaper today.
I'm in the newspaper today. It was really nice, listeners, when I came in and I had newspaper. Sophie and Frank kind of lined me up with their phones. Like two very proud aunties.
Oh, yeah.
Very
like, always.
Yeah, I'm part of a wide article in The Reveller in the Evening Standard. So if you are picking up the newspaper on Wednesday the 3rd? Wednesday the 3rd of August, and you have an Evening Standard, flip through it. You might see a little face you don't recognise because this is the podcast.
if you're listening to this on Friday, go to your recycling bin.
Yes!
Take it out of the bin!
Get me out of the bin. It's dark in here. So it's four recipes. One from Chef the Ninth, one from the guys at Acme Fire Cult, one from Smokestack, and one from the lovely Rahel Stephanie Spoons, who we saw the other day. And spoon is also, incidentally, the only word my boyfriend can say in a Scottish accent. So, fun facts. But
spoon?
Yeah. Spoon.
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 Spoon. How are our spoons?
Go on.
Spoon.
Spoon.
You're more Glaswegian. You're more like Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah. You're more chaffy than me.
I've never even been to Glasgow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
going to get people writing in. Oh, what's she sucking off Glasgow for?
It's fun. This is now a Glasgow hate podcast. This is a Glasgow hate Doctor Who podcast. No, I'm joking. I love you, Ouija's. But yeah, and then I'm at the back pairing for Wine to Them, which was pretty nice little assignment to do. It was very last minute. And yeah, I think it's a really nice piece. And then also, thanks for asking, there was a there was a few billboards around London for a campaign that I'm doing with Sussex Modern, who like represent different vineyards and different cultural institutions in Sussex, and I did a little bit of a thing for them. So like some little like mini documentaries are going to come out in the coming weeks. So if you see them, leave a like and a comment so that they hire me again.
I saw a clip. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
You also look so fit.
I was going to say, you're so fit, mate.
In the clips, you look really so fit. Round of applause.
Well done for looking fit.
Thank you. I honestly don't look fit in all of it. And some of them, like, oh, okay, I'm not going to get all fit about it. But there is one scene where I'm just like, I look like, I don't even know what I look like. You know what I do look like? It looks like I've been filming for 8 hours. That's what it looks like. I just look a little bit tired, but no, it is really good. And the guys at Forest Studio did an amazing job. But yeah, so I really want to commission Frank to do a painting, because currently over our bed is a photograph of my boyfriend. Let me explain, because that sounds really weird. Because it's a house that we both share together. He doesn't just have it. It's from like an art project a while ago. And it's not obvious that it's him.
Ah.
And it's very... But I was thinking, like, it's a very ominous photo. And it's very... I'll show you guys.
I think I need to see this.
Yeah, it's a very ominous photo. But I was thinking, like, it would be like such a vibe shift if it just got replaced by like some colourful oranges and some tits.
Just get oranges, and that's my speciality. I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah.
Why did you decide to pivot to tits?
Because sex sells, Hannah. That is why.
Yeah. Don't we know it, Sophie? Don't we know
but
it?
But also, you know, I was painting like the fruit and the cocktails for a bit. And I get quite bored of the subject matter quite quickly. And I was like, I want to start painting figuratively, like people.
Yeah.
And bodies, and women's bodies are obviously much nicer to look at than men's.
Absolutely.
Your bipanic is showing, Frankie.
I taught you that word.
Frankie taught me the word the phrase bipanic.
I'm like probably a good 8 years older than Hannah, and you know, I'm just quite proud that I taught you that phrase bipanic. But yeah, I like painting boobies.
As a heterosexual woman, I completely agree that women's bodies are just nicer.
Just so much nicer
in every way.
Yeah.
There's a really good Phil Wang bit where he talks about how the genitals look like they're made. So like vaginas look like they're made in Switzerland by a chocolatier. And he's like, I'm doing like a little gesture with my hand, like, no, like very beautiful. And they're like all crafted out of chocolate and they look amazing. Whereas penises look like they've been made in a Victorian factory by 7-year-olds. And they're like on a conveyor belt, like,
oh, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant
Which
analogy.
I think is a pretty I good way it. Of putting it.
What do you think is next on your list of things to paint?
It's a good question.
So you've done cocktails, you've done fruit, you're on to boobs.
Yeah.
Who's after boobs?
What's next?
Is it dick?
Well, no.
They don't look very nice.
They don't. I'm sorry. Mm. I don't think a painting of a dick would look great.
I think the majority of, well, I don't know if your audience is mostly women or people who buy stuff.
Do you know what? I think it is. I think it's mostly women. Occasionally, do you know what I do get a lot of is guys reaching out for birthday presents for them.
Nice. Love that. Good guys.
Engagement gifts.
Oh.
Anniversaries, like that sort of thing.
Love that.
I had a really nice guy. I can't say who it is because maybe he hasn't given it to her yet, but probably met him through Hannah vicariously. I feel like, well, basically he comes to the studio and picks up this piece for his girlfriend. I'm sure he's given it to her by now, but yeah, it was like works in the restaurant industry.
That's
I'm not
so
going to
say
just in case he hasn't given it to her yet.
Oh, okay.
But you just don't know. Don't
you can tell us afterwards.
Tell you after.
So dicks aren't coming next.
No, I don't but actually know. I think, well, so, oh, plug moment. I've got a solo show coming up.
Ooh, yay! This is so cool.
To get that in there. So that is very much fruit and veg and kind of it's called Secret Garden.
Amazing.
And it's kind of like a celebration of like British like garden, maybe like late summer, Indian summer, like
beautiful.
Sort of, lots of tomatoes. I love painting tomatoes.
Yeah. What are your favorite things to do besides tomatoes?
Yeah, because
I can understand
tomatoes.
Where that comes from, like the bold colors, the lovely pleasing round shapes.
Do you know what's funny? It's like occasionally I'll get a commission and they'll be very specific and what they want. And recently I had one, they wanted prawns in there. And I was like, I've never painted prawns. And I think there's certain things I avoid because I think they might look a bit ugly. So I always paint like very like round, like oranges, tomatoes, lemons. I just think they're very sort of nice shapes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my prawns come out quite well. So I, you know, it's
I think I would agree with
prawns,
you. I hope they did.
But
where is the show and when?
Oh yeah, I'm not very good at this
bloody
malarkey, am I? you've got to guess. No, it's all the way in Newquay, so it's actually quite
amazing.
Far away.
Shout out to our Newquay listeners.
Yeah, if anyone's on their
West
summer
Country.
Holidays down there, great.
It's in Newquay. It's a beautiful gallery called North Coast Asylum. It's like this. It's in this like converted church. It's absolutely stunning. So I'm very excited. But yeah, it's my first solo. So.
Oh.
It's quite a big deal, actually.
Oh,
best
so
of luck. It's so
you.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Would you say that there's anything that you flat out wouldn't paint? Or is there anything you've been asked to paint and
you
said no?
I can tell you loads of things that I've been asked. Pet commissions.
Really?
Yeah,
because I wouldn't look at your art and be like, oh, you know what I want her to do? A living, breathing animal that she's never done before.
Yeah. Well, actually, funny for you saying about what would you paint next, I have started painting animals to some extent. I've like done like some very sort of quirky looking dogs and sort of, you know. Like
you did like little Alsatian
and
things.
And I painted peacocks and stuff like that. I can't remember what I painted. But like, but I normally like work them into like a vase. So they're like, they're not actually the physical thing. Like they're sort of an ornament or they're part of like the detailing. But I've had pet commissions. I'm like, no. Like, it's so funny. Like, people just want to immortalize their pets in paint or drawing form. And I'm just like, no.
Just stuff them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's for particular artists, isn't it? It's
not
every painter will be able to.
And I just think, you know, and then also I've had a couple that want black and white. They basically want what I do in black and white. And it's kind of like, I just have to say very politely, like, you know, have you seen my work? Does
it's
it look
me.
Like it? You know, and it's like, I'm just, I just have to say no. I think a couple of years ago, I would have said, yeah, go on then, sold it. I was desperate, but no,
you found your style and your niche.
Yeah, and it's like, I can't, even if I like, I just can't put my name to that really, because it's just not, just not what I'm about.
Yeah. Anything really weird you've been asked?
I've had some weird DMs of random people being like, can you paint me? Naked.
Ew. Naked.
I feel like it was from a troll account. This was a while ago, to be honest with you.
That's just an excuse to send an unsolicited nude.
One of your French girls.
Ready. Yeah, actually, I haven't had anything that weird in a while. But like, just some strange DMs.
Yeah. Well, speaking of strange DMs, shall we move on to some letters?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So we've got three stories this week. So question one is, what are your favourite things to stuff in olives?
Oh, this is a great question. Frankie, do you have any strong opinions on this?
I think, do you know what? My go-to would be garlic, chili. I know, very boring and safe, but what I have read about recently, I'm yet to try, is blue cheese stuffed olives.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I did hear it on another popular food podcast.
Others are available.
Others are available. Obviously not as good. where it's very popular to serve it in a dirty martini. And I
blue
can't
and olive
stop
and...
thinking about it. But I think it's a very like New York thing.
That okay. sounds unbelievable. Yeah,
like, and I mean, I'm not...
Eilish is after martini. This podcast. I'm just remembering it
Do
now.
You know which one it is? Yeah. I think it might have actually come up on a couple though. There's, I think, two different podcasts with two celebrities mentioning it.
Well, there we go.
We'll say who it is after. But
we are allowed to mention other podcasts.
Yeah, okay. So. Shall I just
menu.
Say?
So is it off menu?
It was off menu, but then it was also Emily Ratajkowski.
Ratajkowski.
Yeah, her. Who's just gone for a divorce.
Oh my God.
Sorry, that's got
husband's a dirty, dirty dog.
The fact that a man who looks like that can marry and then cheat on Emily Ratajkowski proves that it can just happen to any of us, and men are disgusting.
Yeah, sorry, I did want to bring that up actually. I'm shook up about that.
I can't actually fucking believe it.
But yeah, she talks about it as well on
Table Manners.
Yes. And
Jessie Ware followed me last week.
Oh my God.
Sorry?
Jessie Ware followed me on Instagram.
She followed you.
I love you, Jessie.
Oh my God.
People have been getting some mad followers. Didn't Ben Lippitt get followed by Emma Raducanu?
She's followed Lucas for months.
Okay, I've really got to mention who's been following me for some time. It's Major Samantha Cameron.
No!
No! You know what? That's who I imagined when I was going to meet you. I thought you were going to be like Sam Cam.
Dirty little Essex girl. And you were bitterly disappointed. I know, my Tory dad is really proud. I think, but she's been following me for ages. She's never, I think she liked one of my posts, but yeah.
She's still following you?
I think she is, yeah. But yeah, sorry, we've gone way off
that
piece.
That is so rogue. Can we keep that in, or can we?
But yeah, I'm
blue cheese and the olive.
This is the thing, to go back to that. So I googled it. Wow, they are expensive. To buy them by the jar, you're looking at least 40 quid.
Cheese is expensive.
Wow.
Maybe you self stuff.
Well, I was contemplating it. Yeah,
we've all been there.
Sometimes you've got no other option. You've just got to self-stuff. Right.
I am genuinely going to do that. That's the olives, not
what
the
about you? What about you? It's only half seven.
I've lost it, I'm sorry.
Sophie's crying, listening. I can't tell if it's tears or if it's just sweat.
Probably a combination of the two.
What about you, YB? What do you put in your olives?
I generally like an olive totally naked, no stuffing involved, just a chunky Pirello Gordau olive, one of my favourite foods in the universe. But I actually spent the weekend away in Devon with some really good friends, one of whom, my host, my good friend Tom, always has these big green olives stuffed with an almond. A single almond in an olive. And it just offers really nice crunch in there.
Yeah.
Kind of bland milkiness and crunch in an olive.
I like that. So
that's on my mind right now.
Yeah.
What about you?
Anchovies and olives.
Yeah, always.
I've never tried that.
I am a big salty salt fan.
That's salt on
anything
salt.
Anything salty, I'm just like, get it in my mouth.
Do you like Guilders? Have you had a Guilders?
Shut the fuck up, man.
It's gone very smutty.
It's getting pretty hot in here.
It is. I'm very smutty.
Do you like Guilders? We had a Guilder.
No.
What's that?
They're these little San Sebastian pinchos where you have an olive, an anchovy, and a pickled chili on a little skewer.
That is right.
And you have that as
street.
A little nibble with a beer.
Okay.
I'm going to bring some next time I come around.
Okay, please do.
You'll die.
If we get a beer sponsor, that's definitely what we're doing.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. We've put that to rights. Number two, which is actually a question from my mum. Shout out Nicola.
Oh, bless
Hi,
her.
Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Nikki. What is the piece of art that has moved you the most?
Oh, I feel like I should have a really good answer for this, but I really don't. I think there was a Hockney exhibition in London, probably, I think it's back in 2018. And not a specific painting, but just them in general. I think because they're just so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
The one I'm thinking of in particular is it's like the swimming pool one.
And the splash?
Like, no, not the biggest splash. There's actually someone in it. And well, I mean, even that one as well, but like, they're just so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to be able to see it in the flesh was just quite oh my God. And you couldn't get anywhere near them.
Really?
And I remember they were being really, it was at the Tate Britain from memory. And they were being really funny about taking photos as well.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And I just remember just trying to get, that kept sucks. Getting told off. But
quite nice to be able to just be in the moment and immerse yourself in it. Even though you want to take a picture to remember which one you
love.
And
the real reason why I was taking a picture is because I just wanted to post it on Instagram and be like, oh, you know.
Did you wear your Hockney dress?
No, because this was pre-House of Sunny Hockney dress. This is going back.
The time before the Hockney dress. Do you know the dress I'm talking about?
I do have that dress.
I have to Google it.
I know you have that dress.
That's why you said it. Yeah.
I'll have to Google it.
Yeah, Frank looks fucking sick in that dress.
But, I don't know. The thing is, I don't know that you can, you can see from my own artwork, it's all about being fun and playful. You know, I'm not trying to make anyone cry.
That would be like really quite alarming.
You've seen it everywhere. That one.
Yes.
It did go viral. I think Kendall Jenner wore it.
My good friend Han has that dress.
And it sold out. I just wanted
to be
half
like price,
Kendall.
Actually.
Oh, for fuck's sake, it was.
I hate when they do that, those bloody clothes.
But yeah, I think that's my answer.
Yeah.
What about you, Han?
I can't think of any in my life, but the thing that kind of immediately comes to mind, and I think that, yeah, I'm doing a similar thing to you, Frank. I'm just thinking of, like, what's the most recent. I went to the Francis Bacon exhibition.
Oh, yes.
Big fan over here. And I spent about 5 minutes looking at one painting and I could like hear, I can't remember, it's one of those, it's part of a triptych of kind of this, it's an orange background and there's this figure that's kind of like obscured underneath this sheet and it's meant to look like Mary Magdalene grieving at the cross. And then the third one is just kind of like this creature kind of is looking at you and like screaming at you. And I could like hear it in my head for 5 minutes. It was really freaking me out. And I had like such an intense
Francis
connection with that
Bacon
painting.
Will
that
get incredible. Under your skin. His paintings are, I mean, they do stir a funny thing inside
There's a
me.
Spookiness.
It really is. It's kind of, they're quite harrowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What about you, Soph?
I'm going to answer... talking about art in kind of the very broad sense,
Everything's
I'd say
art.
That the piece of art that has moved me the most is Lemonade by Beyoncé. It is an iconic album. When it first came out, I listened to it relentlessly, specifically the track All Night, I think is probably the piece of music that has moved me the most ever. Beyoncé,
it was a work of art because it was every track had a music video. It was like
that visual album.
It was iconic.
It was when I was writing my dissertation at uni that dropped. And it's very like writing my dissertation. And I feel like a lot of breakups were happening around me. So I was kind of immersing myself in my friends' breakups through Lemonade.
I was in my second year. I remember it very clearly.
It was, yeah, bloody sunny. 2016. What a time. But All Night is the kind of redemption song at the end of the album, which is all about forgiveness and like learning to love again. And God, that song is so
We all hated Jay-Z, didn't we?
We did. Still do.
Yeah, to
still
be fair,
do.
I do too.
I don't forgive you,
did
Jay.
Did he do anything? He didn't come out with a public apology, did he?
He came out with an album where he was basically like, yeah, I did fucking do it. Soz. That was it.
Do you know who it was meant to be?
Becky with the good hair.
Yeah, but do you know who Becky with the good hair is?
No, who is it?
Apparently it's Rita Ora.
Shut up.
That makes a lot of sense. Don't like her.
Yeah,
I don't like her.
Never liked her.
You never meet someone that says, oh, you say that, oh, which, what music do you listen to? They're like, oh, I just love listening to Rita Ora.
Cam says this all the time. Who listens to Rita Ora? Who is that music for?
Honestly.
But also, what's Taika Waititi seeing her?
Yes,
that's what
I thought they were still saying.
Sorry,
wrong information.
Sophie are excited to end our relationships in search of Taika Waititi.
I think they're getting married.
Oh, wow.
No.
And I thought he was cool.
Oh, no, that's making me really sad.
Yeah, not fair at all.
And our final question for today.
Yes.
This is probably one for me, actually, isn't it?
Yes, it is one for you. Why are pine nuts so expensive?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, they take bloody ages to grow. The trees take ages to grow. The seeds take a while to mature. You're looking at like 15, 20 years for a tree to grow and then loads more for them to mature. And then the second point is that they actually take a lot of work to harvest. You kind of have to hand pick them down and then there's an external shell on every single pine nut that you need to pick off before you sell them. So it's basically low yield from how long they take to grow and loads of labour that goes into it.
Oh, God, I had
where,
no idea.
Where in the world are pine nuts sort of farmed, shall we say?
It's an excellent question. I feel like...
Sorry,
they use them a lot in Italy.
Yeah, maybe that feels like...
But they must farm them elsewhere. I feel like in South America, if I had to guess, pine nut farms, right?
Yeah.
Italy or South America.
Yeah. Let's have a look.
Also, I hate to confirm this, but they are in fact engaged.
They are.
Oh, God, no.
Damn it.
He's so funny and sweet.
Yeah, I do. I'm a big fan of his.
Hunt
yeah.
for the World of People is another piece of art that has moved me greatly.
What We Do in the Shadows, the original film, is one of the funniest films ever.
A masterpiece.
I have seen that. Yeah, I have.
Yeah with the vampires.
Yeah. Yes, that is a good film.
So, United States, Europe, and Asia. Very broad. So basically most places.
Just the three little ones.
Literally
then.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Just don't go looking in Africa. Yeah. Otherwise you're good.
Yeah. Okay. That is all the letters that we have time for. Frank, is there anything that you want to plug? Anything that you want to end on?
Just, you know, buy my art if you feel like it, you know, that'd be nice. No, that's, I'm not very good at this sort of thing. So.
Give Frank a follow at Frankie Thorpe.
And visit your exhibition. Go see my, if you're in Newquay, I think it's on for the majority of September as well. So if you're in the area, go see it. Go check it out, please.
Brilliant. Well, Frankie, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
That creme brulee was absolutely amazing.
Thank you. As was that wine. Oh. As was the company, as always.
Oh, guys, it's been so amazing. So see you next time. And every review left equals one more personal stuffing.
Oh, what a way to go out.
Thank you very much, guys. Bye.
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 Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.